97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, we welcome in our friend Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. I would assume just back from Las Vegas. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And Kim, you look so different today.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is. It must be the hat.
It's the hat. Yeah, that's it. You know, I love the fact that you're watching us there on the socials this morning, Mark. I appreciate that.
That's great.
As I did when I was on your show recently. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fun stuff.
We're back
from Vegas.
So what did you learn out there?
Well, because of the inauguration week, the mood in Vegas was completely different than anything you see than we've seen over the previous two SHOT shows, right? Over the previous two administrations during inauguration week. There was a lot of trepidation. People were very excited about Donald Trump being in office for obvious reasons. So there was a relief factor there. But there was also some trepidation or some consternation. For you liberals, that means really, I'll just make it easy for you, that just means anxiety. There was some anxiety and maybe a little bit of fear because people are concerned that gun owners are going to get very complacent. So I think, while that's natural, I think the industry itself is going to react accordingly. I think you're going to see a lot of great innovation. We saw a lot of talk about that. When I was speaking with a bunch of folks, I met a lot of politicians who were there. I had the Montana Attorney General on, and your Missouri Attorney General is joining me. Bailey is joining me on the program coming up on Sunday. Everybody's really excited about what's happening with the new Department of Defense. There was a lot of talk about the ATF, what needs to happen with them. It really was overwhelming, Mark, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was glad to see you were getting Bailey on there. Great guy. And, you know, he's out there talking about the Second Amendment. I mean, of course he campaigned on it, but to see them follow up and to actually take part in what must be the biggest industry show in the country, that's putting your body where your mouth is, right?
It is. And I want to point out to listeners in Missouri that your attorney general has a huge impact on Second Amendment issues across the country. What I mean by that is your attorney general doesn't just work on your behalf. The attorney general files amici briefs in other cases, in Second Amendment cases that are ongoing around the country and things that matter in this industry. So they do amazing work. Bailey does amazing work, and all of us, no matter where we live, are impacted by the work that they do.
Yeah.
So I want to throw a hats off. The fact that he's there is a huge sign for you, and I can promise you, and you'll hear him on the show Sunday, you're going to love what you hear. He is a fighter for your rights, and he can't wait to fix what's wrong in Missouri now. Even though Missouri is a great gun state, there's still a lot of work to do, and he's there with the industry working on behalf of fixing that.
Yeah, we like Andrew Bailey. He's out of central casting. I mean, he's on target when he's talking about these issues, and he's dealing with a lot of different stuff right now. And, you know, speaking of the ATF, which you brought up a minute ago, there are several bills in Congress right now that would eliminate that. I mean, it's not just as part of a cost-cutting move, but because of what it's done to the American people. I heard J.D. Vance talk about them basically keeping a registry. He campaigned on that issue. If we know that stuff's been going on, hopefully we've got an administration now that's going to move in and take the bull by the horns. And if they don't pass Eric Burleson's law to get rid of the ATF, at the very least, you're going to have somebody in there with some common sense when it comes to registries. And maybe they can change the National Firearms Act.
Well, they're working on that. There was a bill put forth to do just that as well. And, of course, we have the Hearing Suppression Act moving its way through Congress right now. I don't know that that one has any bipartisan support yet. But let's go back to the ATF briefly. Let me do this because it is so overwhelming. I want people to understand the direction that we're going before we focus on ATF. The Office of Gun Violence Prevention website went dark while we were at SHOT. It was pulled down. It was wiped out at the click of a button, just like that. That's the direction we're moving. There will be no more gun control in the White House. And that it was beautiful when you saw that 404 White House page not found, when you went to Office of Gun Violence Prevention. That made the rounds and went viral. Hopefully we see something similar with ATF. Now, that's going to be a little bit more of an uphill climb, right? Because the agency's been there, it's going to require an act of Congress, whether it's defunded, whether it's disbanded. But what you did have while we were out there as well, also breaking news, was the second in command at ATF was given his walking papers as well. So I can't tell you who yet, but I have an indication who might be coming in as a director or might be nominated as a director of ATF. And if that happens, you're going to see massive changes at ATF, massive changes. So feel good about it either way.
I do. And the other story that caught my attention this week, and it was Turning Point USA that reported this one. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has been accused of already circumventing President Trump's executive order mandating the suspension of all federal diversity, equity, and inclusion employees by simply changing the job title. So
right.
So they took the person who was in charge of that at ATF because obviously, you know, I guess if you're going to get arrested by the ATF, you would like it to be somebody who looks like you. I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek there, borrowing that from the fire DEI fire chief in L.A. You'd rather be rescued by somebody that looks like you, said no one ever. So in this case, they changed the woman's title. So she's still doing the same thing. And this is going to happen all across government if we're not careful.
It is, but I am pretty confident the Trump administration is going to have a handle on all of that with their DEI nonsense. But yes, this reeks when you see stories like this. This is why we have been so concerned, Mark, as you know, about the shenanigans going on, not just at ATF. We'll focus on ATF for this conversation, but at all levels of government and government institutions. But when you talk about the ATF, you have to ask this question. Who is working at ATF right now that continues to undermine the president of the United States and the president's agenda behind the scenes? What does that say about those people who have been running ATF? Can you trust anything that they've done? The answer to that is a flat out no. This is an organization that is rogue. It's unconstitutional. It shouldn't be there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I ask this question, and if you're an ATF agent listening, I'm directing it to you. Why are you still there? You know you're with a weaponized agency. We know what you're all about. If you're still there doing the bidding of the federal government right now to undermine the next administration and had been doing the bidding of the previous administration, knowing it was infringing on your rights, on people's rights, it says an awful lot about you. You're not our friend. We will treat you accordingly.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Mark, while I've got you on here, and because you were at SHOT Show last week, we had the guy on who runs Byrna. The non-lethal pistols that they're selling these days. And apparently he was invited onto the main floor this year, and they're selling the hell out of these things. What's your take on them?
Interesting conversation I had with the CEO myself in the end of the fourth quarter. He's interested in bringing that to Armed American Radio listeners. Now, it's Armed American Radio. So over the years, I've struggled with non-lethal self-defense tools on the program. But the Byrna is one that I believe I could actually talk to my listeners about. I have felt the product. I've handled the product. I haven't fired the product. I know a lot of people who have it, and it presents a really solid bona fide option for those who might want to carry a tool for self-defense that don't want to carry something lethal. So it fills a void there, and I did see them at the show. They had a lot of people there. There's a lot of interest in the product. Personally, for me, it's a little bit too big. If I'm going to carry something that big, it's going to go bang, bang, pow, pow, and you're going to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Not, I mean, because of the nature of
not
it, you have to put a CO2 cartridge in it, and they want it to have sort of the weight and the feel of a regular firearm, so that it's on a little bit bigger frame. There's not really, I think he hinted that there might be more of a concealable version of it coming out at some point.
He did make that to me, too. It's 'cause there is, I can say this with certainty because he told me, and it's not a secret, they are going to have a little bit more compact. And I want to point something out, Mark. As you know, back in 2002, I had to pull a firearm on two individuals who were attempting to get into a car off of my front left bumper and then turn their attention toward me. The mere presence of my firearm pointed directly at his face at 6:20 in the morning stopped all activity towards me. I never had to fire a shot, thankfully. If, you know, there's a huge percentage of times that Byrna might be pulled and have the exact same effect. I don't think a criminal is going to look at the business end of anything pointing at them and say, is that the thing that fires that? That might be CO2.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to continue my actions. So it has a great defensive use just by its mere presence. It's a great option for people, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm glad to get your take on it, Mark. I appreciate that. Hey, remind people again when they can listen to Armed American Radio.
Yeah, armedamericanradio.com, every day Central Time from 3 to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. At armedamericanradio.com, just like you can watch the program or listen there, or you can listen every Sunday from 7 to 10 p.m. Central Time, and we will have your Missouri Attorney General on the program this coming Sunday at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, so you'll want to tune in for that one.
Awesome. Mark, you're a great American. Keep up the good work.
I love you. Kim, you need some new face cream.
We will share that with her, my friend. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Mark Walters there from Armed American Radio. We'll work on that for you, Scott.
I do need some face cream. I just ran out.
So. Oh, that's funny. All right. Kim is going to be back with us Thursday, I think. So we appreciate Scott being willing to come in here and fill in this week. That's fantastic.
Get more at 971talk.com.